Hey guys, welcome to the Hardcore Strong Podcast. This is episode 11. We are your hosts. I'm Ernest.
Hey guys, and I am Cassandra.
And we are back, guys. We took kind of a break, obviously, with all this coronavirus shit going on. Kind of a crazy time right now, and we haven't really been able to get into the studio with all this shit going on. So it is good to be back, and we brought an amazing guest with us. The one, the only, Dramatone.
I appreciate y'all, man.
Of course, man. Hell yeah. So yeah, like we said, we were talking about this earlier. Is that we've been wanting to have you as a guest on the show for a while now.
Yeah.
It's cool how I first got to find out about you is through Jeremy Pape.
Yeah.
Shout out Jeremy
Pape. We literally shout him out like on every podcast for some reason.
Yeah, literally.
He always ends up on the podcast.
When I first, I was like, he's like, hey man, you got to check out Dramatone. I was like, all right. And like, I would like see your Instagram and I was like, damn, dude, this dude's kind of dark, dude. Like, yeah. I was like, it kind of scared me at first. So
yeah.
I was like, okay. So I didn't really check you out at first. Like, I followed you on Instagram and all that shit. Then I started listening to music, dude. And that's where I got hooked immediately. And I was like, dude, I fucking love this guy.
How do you say he scared you? He listens to Creator.
No, I listened to like Creator. some stuff like that. But like, you know what I mean? It was just different.
Hate
you know
breed.
What I mean? Yeah. So it was different. And I think a lot of people at first might be like a little like, oh,
100%.
Shit.
100%. Yeah. So many people, they're like, right. Man, yeah, I didn't fuck with it at first. Like, but if you actually listen to what I'm saying, it's a lot of positive shit.
No,
you know?
For sure. And that's what I'm always telling her. I was like, I love his music, dude.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
I appreciate it.
And then we, what was it back in, was it December or January? We got to see you live for
the
first time.
Yeah.
So that was a pretty cool show.
Yeah,
it was
Ray Reed show. Yeah,
that was pretty tight, man. So that was a really, really cool time.
Yeah.
And yeah,
it's crazy too, because even like with our name Hardcore Strong and hardcore music,
yeah,
we always talk about that initially people always think, oh, it's just like screaming and like crazy devil worship stuff, and it's like, no, actually they like have really positive lyrics.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, they just talk about real life, you know, and what people go through and adversities that they overcome. And that's the main reason why we chose the name Hardcore Strong.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah, it was about hardcore.
That's cool.
So
right, so I mean, even just listening to your music, obviously you would have to think, and I for sure thought, I was like, man, he has a fucking awesome story, I'm sure, you know what I mean? So that's what we even talked about getting you on the show, just to start. So I think, can you just tell our listeners kind of who you are and who is Dramatone?
Dramatone is kind of like an alter ego for myself. Mm-hmm. When I was younger, I would, I didn't start writing music probably till I was like 17 or 18. When I was younger, I used to draw a lot, and my mom kind of got me into the artistic side. I always wanted to dye my hair and pierce mm-hmm. my ears, and I was into like all kinds of music. And from there, Dramatone came. Like, Dramatone started, I think, when I was 17, and I came up with that name. It was drama at first. My name was initially Drama because I was just always starting drama. Like, I was a little shit back in high school, you know, like.
Right.
And then tone, just kind of, I had the same tone on every song. Like, it was kind of recognizable for people, really monotone. So it just, Dramatone, that's what we stuck with.
That's tight. What kind of music were you listening to back then when you were 17?
I was listening to all kinds of music, but I remember, like, I liked Kid Rock a lot. It's kind of crazy.
That's
kind of crazy.
Kid Rock.
Yeah, he was dope as fuck.
Who doesn't, right?
Yeah. I liked Linkin Park a lot. Obviously Eminem. The Offspring has always been one of my favorite bands ever.
That's sick.
Metallica.
Yeah.
Audio Slave.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Jedi Mind Tricks. That's probably one of my biggest influences. Vinny Paz.
Yeah. He's dope, man.
Yeah.
He does a lot of stuff with Terror. You ever heard the band Terror?
I haven't.
Yeah. No. They're a hardcore band.
It's a metal band.
Hardcore. They do. They've done a couple like collabs together and stuff. So Cody Reed. Shout out to Cody Reed. He showed me who Vinny Paz was. Long time ago, and then I just so happened that my favorite hardcore band, I just got them tatted. They did collabs with Vinny Paz and Jedi Mind Tricks and all that shit. So I thought that was really cool. Yeah, it's pretty tight, man. I didn't even know about it until I kind of like went deep into checking out Vinny Paz. So that's pretty cool.
Hell yeah. That sounds dope.
No, we also seen that you're a big Pac fan too, right, Tupac?
Oh, yeah. 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 That's kind of what I grew up listening to too. And even now, like, there's weeks where I just listen to nothing but Tupac, you know?
Right. That's tight, man.
Yeah.
And you're from Denver?
I'm from Denver, yeah. Awesome. Born and raised, yeah.
What schools did you go to?
I went to TJ
for
high school and Hamilton for middle school.
Okay.
Yeah.
Damn, that's
Southeast.
Yeah,
Southeast Denver, yeah.
Oh, that's tight.
Yeah.
So what was that like growing up then for you? Obviously, you said you got into a lot of trouble and stuff like that. Just what was that background to that?
I was just kind of a wild kid.
Denver at the time and stuff like that.
Yeah, I was just kind of a wild kid. Like, I put my parents through hell.
Just wanted to be rebellious.
Yeah, I just, we liked fires a lot. I liked lighting fires. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I was going to say some stories and shit. I don't know. Like,
no, dude, go ahead. Yeah, yeah.
One of my questions is if you're willing to share some stories.
Yeah.
Some
crazy stories. Yeah, go ahead, man. Like, Pape shared a fucking crazy ass story.
I know.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's crazy.
Oh, yeah. Well, like I said, like, we just liked fire a lot. We liked making little explosives and shit and lighting stuff on fire. But me and this guy one time, I got my homie JP over here. We used to fuck around with fire a lot, and we lit a fence on fire one time. Yeah, we just lighting the grass and then kicking it out, and then eventually it got too big and we couldn't put the shit out.
Oh, oh damn.
Yeah, and we ditch it. We're like, fuck it, we gotta go. Like, it's too big, we can't put it out. And we're walking, and there's an ambulance coming towards, or a fire truck, yeah. And I remember he's like, man, we should jump in the bushes. Let's jump in the bushes. And I'm like, don't fucking jump in the bushes. Keep going straight. We just keep, and we are so scared.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Dude, that's crazy.
And my boy Thomas one time, just got one more. We were lighting shit on fire in the backyard, you know, like normally. And I think we were lighting bottle rockets off of my mom's wicker chair. And Thomas leaves. His mom comes and picks him up. Like, we were young, you know. His mom came and picked him up. And I'm like, all right, bro, later. I come back inside. I look out on the back porch, and the whole wicker chair is on fire, like 8 feet of fire.
Shit.
Me and Thomas were playing with a fire extinguisher that same day, and we were fucking busting it off, so it was out of shit.
Oh,
so wow. I run downstairs. My dad's down there fucking pumping iron, you know, like working out. I'm like, Dad, come on. There's a fire outside, you know? So he's like, oh, fuck, you know? He's like doing bench press and shit.
Wow.
He comes up, he grabs the fire extinguisher, tries to put it out, and the shit isn't working because we were fucking with it. That yeah, yeah. Oh, so he had to get the hose, and yeah, that was.
Yeah, that could have been real bad.
It could have been bad, yeah, yeah.
I was never a fire kid.
Growing no.
Up. I was too scared of that shit.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever used to. I used to do, my cousin used to show me how to put, like, the butane or whatever like that.
Yeah.
And, like, light it, and it would go.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
One time I burned the fuck out of my hand. I never.
For real? Yeah. Oh, like, in your hand? Yeah. And then, yeah, yeah.
Maybe that was it for me.
I used to do that shit a lot,
yeah,
too.
I was like, fuck that. No, I burned the fuck out of my hand. I was
yeah.
Like, no.
I think that's more of a guy thing.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's great.
You never played with fire?
No, I think arsonists tend to be male.
Yeah,
for sure.
Usually, yeah.
I would right. say like 99% of the time.
Yeah.
So going back to you saying that you started writing when you were, I guess, the end of high school or like 17, 18.
Yeah.
What got you into writing? I know I read about you writing poetry.
Yeah. I used to draw a lot, and that was a good way for me to express myself. And I was pretty good at it. Like, I should have brought this book that I had from when I was really young. I still have. But I used to draw Slipknot characters. I really love Slipknot and like clowns and shit. But then I started, like, I really got into Linkin Park and the way Mike Shinoda was rapping. Mm-hmm. It was just really fucking tight to me. So I would kind of listen to his shit and like recite it, you know?
Right.
And then some of my homies that I grew up with were rapping, making music and shit. So, and it was tight, you know, I was bumping it. I was like, man, I could do this shit. So I just started writing songs, and my old shit was pretty garbage, but I got better,
right.
You know?
Were you recording at a studio back then, or was it just kind of like on your phone or like a little recorder?
I put together a little home studio, and it was like trash, you know, like little like USB mic that wasn't good, and in the closet, you know.
That's,
and then
we used to do that too. We had a Rock Band mic. We'd have the Rock Band from the Guitar Hero or whatever.
Oh yeah.
We just
really
plugged it in, we plugged it in the laptop. Yeah. And then we fucking did it like that.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
Super fucking ratchet.
Yeah. And I'd put out songs on SoundCloud and like send them to all my people and tag everybody, you know, just super annoying, but
oh dude, that's high.
Yeah, but I kept with it and just finally found my sound, and it's gotten better, you know. Each project I feel like it gets a little bit better and more polished, my
right.
verses, you know.
Yeah, so yeah, that's really, really cool, man. So when did you start noticing that, like, you're like, okay, this is my sound, and like reaching out to people, like like, how did you get involved with, like, AP and like, Pape and everybody like that?
So it's funny that you asked that, because Hoodlum was really the first song. I don't know if you've seen Hoodlum. It was the first video I did with Jeremy Pape.
I think I probably have.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was the first song where I was like, this shit is good. I was really feeling it, and, like, my friends were feeling it. And, yeah, I hit up AP. I don't know. I saw him. I was always inspired by his music. His shit is really dope to me. That mm-hmm. Dead Weight, that's the first song I heard by mm-hmm. AP. Yeah. And I reached out to him, and he's like, man, this shit's hard. Let's do it, you know. So he came and laid his verse, and then I hit up Pape for the first time. I never met him.
That's tight.
Yeah, and that was first video we did, and that's when I started taking it serious and investing in my music and investing in my image, and you know.
Dude, so far, what I love about you guys, like you and Pape, you guys make some fucking art, dude, and it's like,
hell yeah.
I could feel that. Like, when I watch your music videos, I'm like, damn, dude, it's dope. Like, yeah. You guys get really creative. Like, I almost see it as, like, a movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I love that shit.
We put a lot into it each time. We have a lot of fun when we're doing it. You know, it's important to have fun while you're doing it.
I know. I wanted to go to the last video shoot you guys had, but what were we doing? I think we went out of town or something like that. It was tight. I wanted to go, though, dude.
Yeah.
It was fucking sick, dude.
Yeah.
We were going to go to New York then.
Oh, yeah.
You're right.
We were balling on a budget.
Hell yeah.
We went and shot a podcast out there.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah. What was that dude's name again?
Lilo Brancato.
Yeah.
From the Bronx Tale.
From the Bronx Tale. That was it.
So that was fun. That was a really
yeah,
good
that
time.
Was. It was a lot of fun.
That was pre-COVID.
Yeah, it was crazy because we were there and everything was normal. And then we get back. And
what month was that?
January.
Oh, okay. It was the beginning of January we went.
It's funny. I think we're a travel jinx. Quick.
Oh, I know it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
quick little story, bro. So, what was it? 2 years ago now.
And we went to go see Offspring.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay. We went to see Offspring and Sublime in Vegas.
Oh hell yeah.
And the next day,
we stood the whole weekend.
Yeah, we stood the whole weekend. I think Sunday night or Monday. Sunday night we flew back, and that's when that shooting in Las Vegas happened.
Oh man.
And it's crazy that we were talking about. When we were planning, we were going
to
stay another day.
We
we freaked the fuck out that we decided not to because one of us couldn't make it because of work.
Like, his cousin and myself, like, both like country music, too, and we wanted to go to that show. God.
And we were talking about
let's just
when
go
we were
by
there.
Like, we could stay, and we just didn't, which was good, but we were like, that's so crazy.
I'm very happy you guys didn't go.
It's fucking wild.
But everyone freaked out. Was texting us, like, are you guys okay? Are you still there? But
we had only been in Denver an hour maybe when we like kind of was like looking at Facebook and seeing the news and shit like that, and then when we get home from fucking New York is like a month later, all this COVID shit's happening,
like, oh,
and we're like, what the fuck? So I think we're travel jinx right now.
it's been chaotic,
for sure.
We were in Thailand in February, like right when the shit was popping off too.
I remember seeing you in a mask going out there. I was like, dude, he's fucking crazy.
That's what everybody said, but there was only 32 cases when we were there.
Really?
And like a month later in Denver, there was, I don't know, some ridiculous 20,000 or something. So we were way safer out there, you know.
Right. How was that trip?
It was amazing. Dude. I fucking love traveling. Like, me and my girl, we go all over the place.
That's how awesome. Was it? How long is the flight?
Total, I think, like with the layovers and shit, it was something ridiculous, like 30 hours.
Oh my gosh.
It was crazy. But we took some Xans and we just fucking, that's what we do every time when we got like
survived.
A 12-hour flight ahead of us. Yeah, we'll both pop like a bar and a half and just, we woke up. I remember I fell asleep with my glasses on and she did too. We fell asleep at the same time, like 8 hours later or something. Woke up, my glasses are all crooked and like, but we executed perfectly because we only had like 3 hours left on our flight, you know?
Have you ever seen The Wolf of Wall Street?
Hell yeah.
And he takes all those drugs and knock him out.
That shit is hilarious. I love that fucking movie.
That movie is so crazy. It is. Just funny.
I always say I'd have to do that because, dude,
he doesn't even like 2 hour flights.
Yeah, 2-3 hour flights. I'm like, fuck this, dude. Because we went to Florida one time and we were in the fucking last seat in the plane.
Oh,
I was
God.
Like, I started freaking out towards the end. I was like, oh, shit.
It's kind of claustrophobic.
Yeah,
it's all hot,
dude,
and fucking, you just feel boxed in.
And sometimes you catch a little bit of turbulence and I start freaking myself the fuck out.
Really? That shit is kind of fun to me. I don't know when it happens. I like it. I'm like, oh, shit, it gets my heart pumping, you know?
That's that dark shit I'm talking about. That's creepy, dude. I'm like, fuck that, dude. It's fucking, nope, thank you.
Yeah.
I ain't going out like that, man.
What's your favorite place that you both have traveled so far?
Bali, Indonesia.
Yeah. Oh, that's where I want to go.
She talks about that all the time.
Incredible.
I want to go.
It was so cool, just the culture and the people and the wildlife. And I saw a cobra out there.
Wow.
That was really cool. Yeah, I've always loved snakes, too. And I was looking for them the whole time. I wanted to find a python. But it was like the last day we were there. Yeah, I went out by myself. I was like riding this bike that the Airbnb gave us. And I fucking like went through this little rice field and I fell into the rice field like I was covered in mud.
Oh my gosh.
I left the bike there and I kept on walking and I come around this corner, this big ass brown snake in the water, and it was a cobra. I took a stick, I was like poking at it and its hood flared up. It was tight.
Oh dude, fuck that noise, dude. You got balls, bro. What if it bit you? You'd have been fucked. Were you by yourself?
I was by myself, yeah.
Oh dude, you know what, they'd have found you fucking months later all
probably
covered in mud.
Fucking Rice field, yeah. Yeah.
Dude, fuck that noise.
It was tight, though.
I don't fuck with snakes either, man. I don't fuck with clowns or snakes, man.
Oh, man.
Fuck that.
You're scared of clowns?
Nope. I got a snake, man. If I would have brought him with me, I bet you would have liked snakes.
No, I wouldn't have. What kind of snake is it?
He's a python.
Nah, fuck that.
But he's really docile. He's chill,
yeah,
you know?
You
should have
brought him.
I should have.
They could smell when someone's scared, dude. I'd be terrified. I wouldn't even fucking
come at you.
Did they ever, like, your school ever bring, like, pets and, like, fucking tarantulas and shit? Like,
hell
nope.
Yeah.
I was never that kid that held them.
No. Yeah, bugs too. I fucking hate bugs, but they fascinate me. Yeah, like really nasty little bugs.
No. Centipede.
Centipedes. They're fucking fascinating to me, but
that's
they're disgusting.
They're creepy.
Yeah.
You fuck with snakes, JP?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Oh, we used to catch snakes all the time too when we were younger. That's another
Jesus
thing.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Lighting fires, catch snakes. Yeah. I fuck with that, dude.
That's chaotic.
It's cool.
That's funny. So out of your projects that you've done so far, what would you say is your favorite project?
Monotone 2. Definitely. Because that's when I kind of really started finding my sound, mm-hmm. and I found a good engineer, Nick Pelk. I don't know if you guys heard of him, Augmented Studio, but he's really dope, and I'm not going to ever work with anybody else.
Awesome.
That's tight.
Yeah.
We were at Side 3, and I was telling one of the engineers about you, and he said that you fucking loved your style. I can't remember his name.
He has the long hair.
Andy.
Yes, Andy.
Yeah, that was my dude, man. Yeah. Like, I loved Andy.
Yeah, he was telling me about you. Shout out to Andy. Bro.
Yeah, shout out Andy.
He was telling me that he loved working with you, and you had some dope sounds.
We had a lot of fun in there too. We were always cracking jokes in there, and it was a good time.
That's tight. Everywhere I go, I'd be fucking shouting you out.
And
everywhere we go, we always ask, like, if they know Dramatone, do you know EP, do you know Pape?
Yeah.
So like
far, the only person we haven't gotten a chance to meet is AP.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we haven't got a chance to.
He's a cool dude.
He's too cool for us.
Yeah.
Well, eventually, hopefully, we can get him on the show. But you know, he just dropped that new shit, and it came.
Yeah, shit's hard. Yeah.
Sure. And going back to your projects, I think my favorite is probably 27.
27 Club. Yeah. That's definitely my second favorite. Like, I put a lot of work into that album. Like the Crystal Coffin.
Dude,
that's probably my favorite
that
song
that
I've done.
I love that one. Are you gonna do a video to that eventually? You think?
I want to. I just need to do it soon because when I leave it there for too long and I don't do a video, I just like lose the urge and the creativity, and so that's. I'm going to do it.
You had Jared Benson on that, didn't you?
Yeah, he was on Too Sadistic.
How did that go about? He's, you know what I mean? He has some pretty dope music too, man.
Yeah, I like Jared Benton's music a lot. I just hit him for a verse, and you know, I paid him his fee, and we did it. Yeah.
It's pretty tight. Every song on that is the shit, man.
I appreciate it.
I fucking love that. That's by far one of my favorites, I think. You know, all your older shit too.
Hell yeah.
Love it, man.
Thank you.
I would my question for you, because I know you brought up the engineering and finally finding a good like engineer that works with you best.
Yeah.
What are some like obstacles or like some of your biggest obstacles that you've encountered so far in the industry itself?
Pretty much like I am really willing to invest in my music. Like I've put a lot of money into my music, and I try really hard with different avenues. And every single video that I've done, I've tried to run Google Ads on it.
Okay.
Like, you know, the sponsored
in-stream
videos, and they fucking deny me every single time for shocking content.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Even my last one, Bruja, though. There was nothing crazy in that video, you know?
I think the name scares people.
Bruja.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe the name. I don't know. Yeah,
I don't know.
So I'm guessing you learned Spanish from your girl? Is that how?
Yeah, I had Rosetta Stone for a while, and I,
Rosetta Stone.
I was really into it. Like,
especially if you're going to travel.
Right.
Stuff,
yeah.
Like, yeah,
and I was in sales, and, like, we had a lot of Spanish customers, so it really just made me want to learn fluent, but I fell off. We were speaking Spanish to each other every single day, and then I just kind of fell off. I stopped learning it, and I still know a little bit. I'm not fluent at all, but I can put together a couple sentences, you know?
That's tight.
That was just some, like, little poetry
shit. No, I think that's cool, man. That's tight.
That's how I am, too. Both of us, we don't know Spanish.
I don't know Spanish.
Yeah.
My parents didn't think it was necessary to teach me, I guess.
And
now I'm like, why didn't you teach me?
My family speaks it, too. Yeah.
Where in Mexico are you from?
My family's from Tucumcari, New Mexico. I was born and raised here, though.
Mm.
So. Yeah, we're, like, way generation, like,
yeah, I don't.
Yeah.
Sixth generation here. I don't know.
I couldn't even spark a conversation.
Nah.
Spanish, but
yeah.
I'm about to hop on Rosetta Stone, too.
Yeah, dude, it was really helping me.
Did you speak anything else?
I did. I spoke a little German. Like, I got a lot of family in Austria.
Really?
Yeah. And when we went out there, I was really young, and my mom got me this little German book, and I learned quite a bit, but I don't know it anymore.
Oh, that's tight. I don't know.
Are you gonna go back to Germany?
Yeah, I'd love to someday. Yeah, I want to go to Austria. I still have a lot of family out there. Nice. Might stay with some of them, or
yeah, that would be cool.
That would be tight. That would be pretty cool to go there.
Yeah, I would love to go anywhere like that. Like
yeah, stuff. I like tropical places though. Like we've been to Paris and London and
Jesus.
Yeah, Italy. Yeah, Mexico. Oh, I would love to go to Italy. Yeah. I like Southeast Asia. That's my favorite place to be.
Damn, that's tight.
Yeah, I would like to go to like South America.
You gotta check it out. Cool. South America would be dope too.
I'd like to go to Brazil or something.
Yeah.
I just gone to Cali in Florida. Nothing special.
I love Cali too. Yeah, no, Florida.
I know we love California. You just always just go just to
I'll
go.
I'll never go back
much.
To Florida. Fuck Florida.
Nah.
Where? We had just a bad experience.
Yeah. Did you?
Just fucking poured
we
on
We went to Orlando
time.
Though. And it literally rained every single day all day.
You went through the monsoon
yeah.
season?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, it was kind of shitty.
Yeah.
Yeah, it
Miami.
It was crappy. Yeah. We perfect time to cut because the camera's going to go.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And here we go. Okay, so what, and would you be willing to share, maybe a time in your life where you had to overcome an adversity that at the time obviously seemed that it would never end or that you couldn't get over it, but it made you become a stronger person and led to where you are today?
Yeah, so I was charged with a felony assault charge in 2018, I think, mm-hmm. and it... Like, really, I went to jail for, like, a week for it. Like, it wasn't bad. That wasn't the first time I've been to jail either. But it was just the financial burden that mm-hmm. that it put on me. And it was, like, it was self-defense. I shouldn't have been charged. Dude was coming at me. I'll kind of go over the story, but we're leaving a bar on Cinco de Mayo, mm-hmm. and we're all fucked up. And, like, me and my – I can cuss on here, right?
Of yeah, course.
Absolutely. Okay.
Fuck shit,
we just yeah. – yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, no, go for it.
All right. So, yeah, we're, like – we're leaving the bar, and I'm with my girl and her friends, and we're kind of fucking around. We're all drunk, like, pushing each other. And dude across the street is like, hey, leave those girls alone, you know? He's, like, talking shit. I'm like, man, fuck you, you know? And, like, my other homie Ortiz was with me, and he's talking shit back to him. And dude just starts running up on us all aggressively. And I just didn't even think about it, but I just mm-hmm. swung and fucking connected with his jaw, and he hits the ground, and I started running. Ortiz ran, and cop chased us. We jumped over a fence, and we both got arrested. And so I was in there for like a week, and I got out on a PR bond, and I was facing like 5 years minimum 5 years
wow.
if I was charged with it. Yeah. So I fucking lawyered up, and I was doing sales at the time, and I was making pretty decent money. I just made like a $8,000 bonus, and all that money went straight to my lawyer. His fee was $8,000, so I booked him to represent me, and I got it dropped down to a misdemeanor. Yeah, so.
So what ended up happening?
Well, the dude that I assaulted had a statement for court saying, like, I don't even want to press charges on this guy. And he was actually a cop in training, I think.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
oh, Jesus.
Yeah, that's why it was so, yeah, oh, that's, okay. yeah, he was like in a cadet program.
Oh.
But yeah, I ended up getting it down to a misdemeanor. I forgot what it was, like reckless something. A
mm-hmm.
Lot better than, I had to do 2 years probation. So that shit sucked.
Damn,
and
that sucks.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm older now. I've done probation a lot when I was younger, and I could never fucking do it because I was so... Just wanted to get high 24/7 and, you know, fuck up a lot. But this time I was good.
How old were you at the time? 18, you said?
No. How old were you? With the assault charge?
Yeah.
This was in 2018.
Oh, 2018.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And during that time, that was just a really rough time for me in general. Like I had a problem with perks before. Like I would take oxys and shit. And I got these pills and they were fentanyl, actually.
Oh, fuck.
And I didn't know it. And I would... You know, do a little bit at a time. We would snort them, and I developed a habit for it. And I was in sales, and I would just kill it when I was on it, and it just became an everyday thing. And I didn't even realize it, but I fucking lost myself completely.
Mm-hmm.
And my girl like was so over it because I wasn't myself anymore. I was a zombie. There was like a few months in my life where I don't even remember it.
Wow.
Yeah. And I got through it. I started using this stuff called Kratom. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Yeah, I think I've heard of it before.
Yeah, it's a cousin of the coffee plant. It grows in Southeast Asia, and it's like a natural opiate kind of.
Mm-hmm.
So that really helped me. I still take that, but I'm still trying to get off of that. But other than that, I smoke weed. I take Adderall sometimes, mushrooms, you know. But that I'm not fucking with perks anymore.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
My parents both had drug issues when I was little too, and it just kind of scares me, and alcohol.
Wow, that's crazy. Did you see that at the time? Did it affect your music as well?
That's probably the time I made the best music.
Really?
Which sucks. Wow. Yeah. I was really creative because I was just in my own shit. I wasn't focused on anything else, but yeah. But I learned, like, when I got sober, too, I learned how to fucking do it and be creative without being high, you know?
Right.
And that was big for me. It was, I felt like I needed something to be able to write shit, and that wasn't the case. And I bet a lot of artists feel like that, too. I know a lot of artists that use drugs, you know, for creativity.
Yeah. Were you a big fan of Juice WRLD?
Not really, man. I respected him. I loved that one song, the Shadows on My Wall song. Mm-hmm. That shit, I loved that. I loved, like, one more song, but it just wasn't really my kind of music.
Right. So what would you have to say to either young listeners or people who were, like, influenced by people like Juice WRLD and obviously them talking a lot about taking, like, perks and stuff like that? What would you have to say?
It's all through the industry, you know, like Future, that's all he raps about. And I've seen an interview with Future saying he does that shit for publicity. He doesn't even take drugs like that, you know?
Wow.
Yeah. You haven't seen that?
No.
It was like a big thing a while back.
No, I've never really bumped Future's music a lot.
It's kind of fucked up because there's 16-year-old kids that listen to that and they think it's hard. Yeah. Sure. And like a lot of kids ruin their lives because they think that's cool and they can be successful and take perks and and it's not. I would say just, you know, be yourself. You don't need to be influenced by bigger artists like that. You know, it's cooler to be creative and sober, I think.
I
still party every now and then, but you know, you gotta be responsible.
Yeah, I think it's just so crazy because it's such an epidemic. Of course,
still
it's everywhere. I mean,
it's scary.
It touches like our lives and family members that we have.
Yeah,
you know, and it leads to oftentimes like heroin and stuff like that. You know, and I have cousins and off and on it and in and out of jail, and it's just like. I don't know, you know, I don't know if it's just something, obviously, a lot of people, I think, use to deal with things, you know, to deal with emotional trauma in their past, and I guess it's obviously easier than dealing with the pain a lot of times, but it's just
that's exactly
kind of like, where do you go, you know, for some people, it's like, you just destroy your whole life, and that's that, and it's just sad to see.
You're just digging your own grave, pretty much, and you think you're helping yourself, and it's really, it's sad. But yeah, it's like at one point I felt like I wasn't normal unless I was on something. Mm-hmm. If I wasn't on something, I would just not feel like myself. Just couldn't think right, couldn't do anything, couldn't function.
Yeah, I'm glad that you kind of spoke about that. That's cool, man, because I think even a lot of kids, I think people in general are just naive to that. You know what I mean? They think that all these rappers are doing this shit and that's the lifestyle. And, oh, that's cool, I'm partying with these girls and I'm fucking doing these drugs. And realizing that. That's not it, man. It's not it. So.
I mean, when you get to that level where you're making millions, sure, fucking party all you want, you know? Right. But right now, like, as a kid, you're like, they're brainwashed. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it is.
That's what I was going to say, too. I think a lot of people don't understand that a lot of artists and actors and celebrities make so much money so young that I mean, I couldn't imagine being 18 with millions of dollars. I probably would have like destroyed my life.
Oh yeah,
you know, partying my life down the toilet.
Most
like,
people,
you know, like they always like when Britney Spears had her little breakdown and whatnot. Man. It's like, well, yeah, like of course, like look what they have at such a young age. You don't know how to deal with that.
No.
You have family and friends pressuring you to give them money and to do all these things it's like they're too young for that much money. I mean, that's what it is.
Partying with people you've only seen on TV and shit. Right. Dude, just imagine if you're partying with like your celebrity fucking, you know what I mean?
Man.
Yeah, dude, it'd be wild.
Yeah, it'd be crazy. So.
Like fucking 12.
They said she was like at parties at like 10 with celebrities.
We were talking about that the other day.
Old.
Like just imagine like you say for instance you're like 30 years old and you see a 12-year-old party. Like who's just gonna give her drugs?
That's fucking evil. You're some weird motherfucker. You're gonna give a 12-year-old girl some cocaine.
It's like the whole like Epstein situation. Like it doesn't surprise me. I mean, there's a lot of weird people out there, and if you have a lot of money, you can do a lot of crazy shit. I'm sure.
I would never.
You know, but like the show I used to watch, I loved on HBO, True Detective, and like one of the seasons, did you ever see that? Kind of touches on that with these rich, powerful political figures having these crazy, weird sex parties, with masks on, and these young underage
orgies
girls, with all these drugs, and I'm like, I'm sure that happens.
Yeah, you know, it does. Like, I don't. It's not.
When you have money, you can do whatever you want.
Epstein
much.
Money.
Yeah, you have power like that. It's
Yeah, that was very. It was still bizarre to me. Like you said, it's not really that shocking, but it was still kind of just like disheartening.
It is,
you know, seeing
is.
That like that.
It's horrible.
Sick.
That's fucking really, really weird.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't realize that you know, with the fame and fortune, you make sacrifices for sure. And you sacrifice your privacy and pretty much like the rest of your life is never going to be the same, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's some really fucking fucked up shit.
It is. Yeah.
So, I see that you have all the ink on your body, man. What was your first tattoo and what's your favorite tattoo?
My first tattoo.
Just taking the shirt off, guys.
Ridiculous. Sure, it's not coming off, but it was this right here. I got it. One of my buddies, his mom passed away, and he had family in Pueblo, so we went down there to like kind of support him and be with him. And
shout out Pueblo.
Yeah, yeah. But we were young. I don't know how young, like 16, 17. Uh-huh. Yeah, maybe younger, maybe 15. But we went by this tattoo shop, and we're like, "Fuck it, let's get tatted." And this dude tatted us up, like. And this was supposed to be 303, but it fucking looks like Bob.
I was going to say, it's like 303 Bob. Or Bob.
Yeah, it looks like Bob.
Either or word.
Yeah.
You know?
And
that's funny.
Yeah. And dude was like definitely on meth and like skinhead for sure. Like it was a weird, weird time. Yeah. Like yeah.
Understandable.
Yeah, exactly.
That's funny.
My mom's family lives in Pueblo, so
that's where like
we go there, once in a while because it's where my parents are at now that they're retired and stuff, but.
It kind of sucks down there.
I would never live there. Yeah.
It's very sketch.
Sorry.
Yeah.
We were at a gas station one time, and we were just pulled over, right? Her car wouldn't start. We went to go get, like, a battery or something, like, for her, because she has, like, a
my stupid fob always goes out.
Yeah, so her fob needs, like, a battery. So we're sitting there, dude. We're waiting for it to, like, start, and all of a sudden a car pulls up, and they're, like, kind of, like, giving us that stare. You know, like, kept looking at us, and we're like, what the fuck, dude? And he rolls her window down. She goes, hey, do you have the shit?
Yeah. And she has, like,
her
money
out. And she's like, and I thought we were doing, like, we were her drug dealer or something like that. We were like, sorry, we don't think we know you.
Wow.
And she's like, all right, oh, sorry, I gotta go.
That's
and
hilarious.
Just pulls the fuck
oh
off.
Oh, my God.
I was like,
you should have just went along with it. Like, yo, what you got?
I gotta go get it real quick. Hold on.
Give me 5 minutes.
Right, I'll be right back.
That's hilarious.
That's fucking hilarious. Yeah, it was a crazy ass. Yeah, we don't go there often, but
no.
It's for my parents.
Yeah, it's for your parents.
Yeah, I don't.
I definitely wouldn't be there at night.
Yeah, I'm not like a small town kind of person. I don't think I could ever do
no.
that.
No.
I mean, I say that now. I don't know if it's different when you have kids and all that, and a lot to like raise them in a certain area, but.
My mom lives up in Fairplay, like way out in the mountains, way out west, and it's fucking beautiful. I love it out there. It's so quiet. At night, it's really cold. Like, you'd see the stars, hear animals. Like, I fucking love being out there. Someday, I want to live out there.
That'd be cool, man.
Yeah.
I'm a city guy. I'm not a big mountain.
You don't
guy.
Even like to go camping.
Nah.
No.
No.
Oh, I love
or hiking
camping.
Or anything.
For real.
Dude, fuck that.
I try to get him to do it because I love being outdoors too. Like, I love camping.
You like camping, JP?
Oh yeah.
So fun. Tell him.
Once a year, yeah. We every time we go, we just eat a ridiculous amount of mushrooms and just have a wacky time, like
staring at the campfire.
Yeah, one time I ate like a quarter. We ate so much, like a quarter of an ounce. Like that was the most I ever eaten, and we were tripping so hard. And I remember one point we're like running through the woods, throwing a football. And JP's running next to me, and he's got, like, a bag of mushrooms while we're running. He's like, here, eat some more. And I fucking, like, put them in my mouth, like, a big handful, and then I just spit them out all over the place because I was tripping so hard and, like, remembered. And, yeah, that was a wild time. Yeah.
Oh, dude, I'm such a pussy when it comes to drugs. It's not even funny.
For real.
Oh, dude.
It's good. Like, mushrooms, it really resets me. It really enlightens me. The next day, I just feel, like, rebooted.
Yeah, I know a lot of people were talking about, like, they take shrooms or DMT right before they make a big life decision.
Mm-hmm.
Pape was talking about that, too.
Yeah. Yeah, Pape likes mushrooms.
Yeah. Did you watch that podcast with Mike Tyson and Joe Rogan?
I did.
We talked about he took the, what is it?
Something. DMT?
Yeah, but wasn't it the one with the frog or something like that?
Oh.
The poisonous frog or something like that?
Oh,
like
yeah,
fucking.
Yeah, like the. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So, yeah, he said he took some of that shit. And
oh,
like
Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
He was tripping for days, right?
Yeah, he said it took him to like a whole nother fucking.
I'd love to hang out with Mike Tyson for a day.
Yeah.
That motherfucker's so cool. You know, like.
Maybe when he was back in his party days, now
yeah.
he seems like super zen. You know
yeah,
I mean?
He does. He'd still be cool to have a conversation
with. Oh, for sure, yeah.
I hope so.
Did he? Dude, the way have you seen him recently? He would fuck some people up. Dude.
I guarantee you will. He's a maniac.
I was like,
yeah.
Jesus, fuck that noise. No, I'm good.
Yeah.
I think we're gonna pause it right here.
Everyone ready?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you could choose any dream lineup to do a show with, it could be multiple artists, dead or alive. What would be your dream lineup?
I would want to do some rock too. Like it would be. For sure, Benny the Butcher. That's one of my favorite artists right now.
Vinny Paz, Audio Slave. Could bring back Chris Cornell back.
Oh, yeah.
That's definitely one of my favorite artists right there, too. And Nirvana. I think it'd be two hip-hop sets and two rock sets.
That would be super cool.
Yeah.
So you were a Nirvana fan, huh?
Oh, yeah. That's cool. I love Nirvana. That's tight. Yeah. I like a lot of alternative, like, grunge, too. Like, old, like, 90s, you know? Like, even, like, the poppy kind of grunge shit, you know? Like, what's that? Mr. Jones? You know what I'm talking about?
That's, like, what I agree. What is that? My age, I bet, huh?
I'm 28. I just turned 28.
He's my age.
He's your age. You just are behind in the music. No, because I like that music too, but I'm older than you guys. So
Yeah. I'll be 29 in January.
Okay. I'll be 29 in February.
Oh, damn. Yeah.
Are you Pisces?
No, Capricorn.
Okay.
So I do Pisces and Capricorn beef, or?
I don't know. Do they? I don't know.
I'm just like, okay, I think we're good.
I think that's more of like relationship type stuff that people are like, what are you?
I don't know if I do you believe in all that stuff?
Not really, no.
What about you, JP?
Somewhat. Like, most of my friends are Geminis. So I'm a Gemini. And he hangs out with her.
That's one thing, man. I love Geminis. I always love Geminis. Gemini. Yeah, I get along with Geminis like crazy. I don't know what it is.
That's tight. Yeah, I don't know.
My mom is a Gemini. I'm a Leo, so.
Yeah.
Supposedly crazy. I don't know.
She is. She's fucking crazy.
No, okay. I'm just a little bossy, I guess.
She wears the pants.
Yeah, well.
For sure.
Whatever works.
I just go around. So where would you have that show at if you could have it anywhere in the world? I mean, would you have it at Red Rocks? Could you have it like?
I'd want to do it out of the country if it was up to me. Like Red Rocks would be really tight. Yeah, like Japan or something. That'd be cool.
That would be pretty cool.
Or Europe.
Yeah, I've never, like I said, I've never been out of the country. That would be cool to see.
Yeah.
A show with Nirvana and.
Yeah. You like Audio Slave too?
I think I've heard some Audio Slave before.
Yeah.
Like I said, Cody Reed probably showed me some of his shit, some of their shit. Isn't it Audio Slave dope? Something I've heard a song called, I can't remember it now.
Yeah.
Fuck, it's going to piss me off. It's the tip of my tongue. He did a diss to me one time because I didn't go to his house and record.
Really?
Because I used to do, like I said, back in the day, I did a little bit of music. I was...
Like hip-hop?
Yeah, it was trash, but it was like a phase I went through.
We all are at first, you know?
And it was something I would just do. Like we said, I had like a really shitty mic in the basement, and I had a laptop, and we would record off of this thing called Mixcraft.
Okay.
And it was like a free thing, and we fucking... we used to... There was like a... Back in the day, there was like a hack where you could like... download like auto tune and you could like use it and like we would fuck
like
around.
Illegally
and we would just like fuck around with it, and then we would some guys would come over and they'd buy a pack of blacks and we would just fucking record.
That shit's fun.
It was cool, man.
I remember we used to get drunk and record, and I used to think this shit sounded so tight. And I would just be like screaming into the mic, and like next day listen to it like, okay, never mind.
God, yeah, that's so fun. Yeah, so everybody would come and we'd record at my house. And shout out to Danny B. He let me use some of his stuff. He had like something kind of like this, and we would record, and it was fucking pretty fun at the time, man. But like I said, it was, I was trash.
At least he recognized it. Yeah. Like some people, like they keep going. I still know so many people.
I know
that, like, no disrespect, you know, but like so many people hit me up like, hey bro, like let's collab, and like sometimes I'll hit a link or something, and I'm like, man, what the fuck are your friends telling you? Like you gotta know when to cut it out at some point.
Yeah, right. For sure.
And it's kind of disrespectful. You see all the fucking work I'm putting in. Like, I actually put money into this shit.
Yeah,
you know?
That sucks, dude. It's weird. That's a sticky situation. I like I said, I've been playing music since I was 12. Like, I play bass and guitar and drums. My dad kind of taught me, and that's where I excel. Like,
hell yeah.
That I'll talk myself up on. I'm like, I'm a bad motherfucking bass player, and I'm saying I'll fucking tear it up. So that's where, like,
I seen a video one time. That shit was hard.
Thank you. Yeah. So, like, me and my dad, we've been jamming for years now. So that's where we kind of, like, obviously the hardcore comes from. Like, he was in a hardcore band when he was my age. Like, he was in his, like, early 20s and stuff like that. So I've been playing since I was young. So,
yeah.
So that's where we, you know, we just jam. It's been a while since we fucking jammed, actually.
You got to get in there. You should film it and put some shit out.
I know, we should.
Have you ever heard of, like, Brady Watts?
No.
Bass player?
No.
He does, like, a lot of hip-hop.
Oh, really? Nice. I'm going to lay a track down for you.
Hell yeah. You should, man. You should.
I've been trying to learn some, like, Rick James shit and, like, just different. Like, I want to try to be...
versatile.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And just try to learn everything. Because, like, I can fuck around with some, like... Earth, Wind, and Fire shit.
Hell
and
yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? I just want to be that guy. You know what I mean?
So
it'll be tied to like some shit. Yeah, exactly, bro.
I like all kinds of music too, for real. Except for country. I don't really.
Nah, I don't fuck with country.
I like Coulter Wall, though. If you ever check out Coulter Wall, it's like you like Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
Most people like Johnny Cash. Right. Even that, you know, it's like a different kind of country, though, I feel like. But this dude, Coulter Wall, if you remember, you got to check it out.
Okay.
You're going to run back this anyway. Check out Coulter Wall. Okay. Shit is hard.
Have you ever jammed any Hank 3? They're pretty cool. You would like them. They talk about some pretty fucking crazy shit, too, dude. Like
gangster shit?
Nah, he's like, he talked about like, he talks about taking perks and shit, like a bunch of crazy shit, and like fucking people's girlfriends and a bunch of crazy shit.
Hell yeah.
So it's pretty fucking tight. Like, his music's cool. Like, I listened to like early country. Like, my grandma showed me like Kenny Rogers and stuff like that. And then my dad showed me Hank 3. It's cool because we went to a show one time, and quick story, he does like three sets. He does like a country set. And then the next set, it's more like his crazy music. And then that first group leaves. And then he has like a fucking breakdown, fucking hardcore that like set. Tight. And then all these dudes are fucking moshing to his shit. It's
you
pretty
gotta
cool.
send me that.
That's so funny.
I will. I'll send you some of his stuff. It's pretty cool, dude. Sorry.
Okay, fine. I never heard of
it. Hank 3? I've probably played some music before. It's pretty fucking crazy shit.
Yeah. He's not like Hank Williams' son.
Yeah, he's he's Hank III.
I know Hank Williams.
Yeah. So you know Hank Williams. So you never Hank Williams. Okay, you say Hank the III.
Super. Huh. Yeah, redneck.
Yeah.
Confederate super. Flag waving kind of guy.
Yeah. He's pretty out there, man. But he's got good music. I like his shit.
But I know who his dad is. Then
right.
I know.
Yeah, for sure.
That's funny. So Dramatone, when people listen to your music, what message or what do you hope they take away from your music?
So it's cool because people hit me up like asking me like or like, oh man, my favorite line in this song is when you say this. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's not really what I was portraying, but it means something else to them.
Right.
And I feel like that's awesome, you mm-hmm. know, because when I write shit, sometimes it just makes sense to me.
Right.
And if somebody else can hear what I'm saying and make it make sense to them, it's beautiful, you know.
That's
so
awesome.
I mean, a message, I don't know, just I like when people can really feel what I'm saying.
Feeling and my relate, pain, and they calling it art.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. You know?
They can relate,
Yeah, I love when people can relate to what I'm doing, and yeah.
And that, I think that there's true beauty in that, man. Like, when somebody can take that, like, what they're feeling inside, and put it out there, and someone can listen to it and be, like, on the other end, and, like, man, that fucking hits
therapy.
Me. Yeah, dude,
therapy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, because I listen to your music all the time, and then, like, when I listen to it like that, dude, it hits me, and I'm like, damn, that's
tight. Yeah.
That's why I think your music has such a good connection with your audience, bro. It's dope.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, we always talk about that, too, that, like, we want everyone to, you know, be able to share their story, because you never know who's listening that's going to be like, hey, me too.
Right.
You know, hey, I could relate to that.
Yeah.
And, like, you might think you're the only one that went through something, and when you share it and put it out there, you have all these people like, hey, that's really cool that you were brave enough to say that and share that, and I could relate. You know, I'm going through the same thing right now in my life. And I think that's, like, a powerful thing that people don't realize that they have.
Very
you know,
powerful.
It's just sharing your story can change lives, for sure.
Yeah,
right. So something we want to ask you, too, is obviously we wanted to start implementing this into the podcast with our guests is obviously Hardcore Strong for us is about overcoming adversity and whatever they took in that dark time to make them a better person. That to us is what being Hardcore Strong is about, overcoming that adversity. Now, would you be able to say that music was that the light at the end of that dark for you? Like, was that be able to get you out of that dark time? Do you think 100%, it was music?
Yeah. It really does help me. Like, when I write and I am focusing and I'm listening to a beat and I'm coming up with shit that I'm thinking about, like, it really does help me. It's therapy. I feel a lot better when I do it. Or when I put out a project and I'm really proud of it, you know, it's therapy and it helps me.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I love that, dude. That's tight. You know, I think, like, everybody has their own thing. You know what I mean? Like, and listening to your music has helped me. It has helped, you know, so many other people, I think, you know what I mean? So, you know, that and then lifting weights for us. And it's different for every single person. So,
yeah,
you know, finding that will help
a
you.
A positive
out
outlet, yeah.
Yeah.
Because like we talked about, it's so easy to fall into doing something else that, you know, keeps your mind occupied.
Yeah.
But if you could find, like, a positive outlet.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of gets you through everything and pushes you when you think you're not going to make it. You know, that's pretty awesome. And I think that's unfortunately what a lot of young people don't have or don't think that they have is, you know, that opportunity. A lot of them give up. We worked with some youth through this program, which was really awesome for a summer. And they went through a lot. They were in a home themselves. They don't have any family, nothing.
And they went through some shit as a kid. Yeah, like some shit. Horrible stories. Yeah. Like the worst thing you could think of.
Right now, that unfortunately, like, they had to register as, like, sex offenders, and it wasn't necessarily, like, something that, you know, was obviously their choice. Like, they were young when stuff happened to them.
Yeah.
So then they acted out also. Man. And
that's
then
a cycle.
Yeah, for the rest of their life, they're, you know, labeled that. And so we worked with them to try to kind of give them that outlet of, hey, you could start your own business, because obviously finding a job like that is
as
very
a sex
difficult.
Offender, you know what I mean? It's just like impossible.
So we kind of try to work with them with saying, hey, like, you could screen print t-shirts like we do. We taught them how to print shirts.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of own your own business and have that option, because I think a lot of people think they have to just do the 9 to 5. Yeah. You know, and if
that's
you really,
awesome that you,
know,
you guys did.
Yeah, yeah, like, push yourself and really believe in yourself. Like, you really can do your own thing. I mean, I know, obviously, we all grew up with this whole mentality of the 9 to 5 and retiring.
Yeah.
You know, with that perfect job and income and salary. And, of course, that's comforting. For sure, that's security.
Yeah.
But if you're able to do, like, what you do, music, and benefit from it and make a life, you know, why not? Like,
yeah.
It makes you happy. You know, and that's what matters at the end of the day.
So. Yeah, you got to be happy. I haven't had a job in 2 years now. I've just been living off of music and little side hustles here and there. And I do not want to go back. Like, it's like all or nothing at this point for me. I'm just going to keep going. And, I don't have much more in me though. Honestly, I got to figure it out eventually. You know, I want to have a baby and buy another house with my girl and but I'll always do music. I got to make something happen soon.
Right.
You know?
And I think you will, man. Like, and I'm not even just saying that, bro. Like, I really think like, you know, you got a huge chance to blow up, man. Yeah. And I think just your style and the way you do your shit, bro, it's gonna be big, man. I really do.
I appreciate it.
Yeah,
exactly. I think that's like what you said, to bounce off of what you said, that's beautiful, man, to have something where you're creating art, you know what I mean? And you're living off of that. That to me is fucking everything, bro. That's like goals, bro. Like I think when someone's stuck at a job or feeling like they are stuck at a job, and I'm speaking from personal experience, I mean, that shit to me scares me, feeling like I'm going to be at a job that I hate for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Like, and being miserable every single day. Yeah. And that to me scares the fuck out of me. That's more scary than like being retired and all that shit. You know what I mean? Like, that to me is like, you're going to think about like what could have been your whole life. Yeah. Right? I mean, like, say for instance, you wanted to do music and you never did it because you were scared or you were afraid of what other people were going to think, and you were stuck in that bubble, bro. And you would have like, wow, what if one day I could have went somewhere, and you know, you never know until you actually try. And I think that's awesome that you're doing that. And that's goals, man. Like, we want to do this full time, and you know, we're trying to make it work. And we're obviously in the early stages of our business and trying to get our name out there and just, you know, trying to collab with everybody and, you know, just make this
a side hustle thing too. Like we said, we make shirts, so we do screen printing.
Yeah.
We do coaching and training, and then we're also going to branch out to kind of social marketing management and help people promote their businesses, because, like, we do a pretty good job with ours, and we have people reaching out asking us how to do that.
Hell yeah.
So, I mean, like you said, like, you kind of have to have multiple venues if you're going to be on your own.
Yes.
You know, unless obviously you just blow up. But other than that, like, even the richest people have multiple businesses.
Yeah.
And, like, that's the best way to be successful, I think, business-wise. We always are talking about, like, the idea of regretting, you know, not trying. I mean, even if you didn't make it, at least you tried. Because, like we said, like, I'm sure our parents never got to do what they wanted to do, you know, their dream job. If you ever sat there and asked your parents, hey, what did you want to be? I'm sure
it's not what they did. Yeah. Right.
And that to me is, like, terrifying.
That's the worst thing.
That's
in the
scary.
World, bro.
That is scary. Because you only have, you know, one life, and that's that. Unless you get reincarnated and you believe in that, then.
Yeah.
But still, you know, like,
right.
You only have one life, and it's sad to think that I'm sure many 50, 60 year olds aren't doing what they got to, you know, to get to live their life like they wanted to.
Yeah.
So,
So, what does the rest of 2020 look like for you, Dramatone? Obviously, with all this COVID bullshit,
we're not sure.
And
us not really be able to go to shows and shit like that. What does the rest of that look like? And what is 2021 probably? Hopefully. If we're able to live our life a little bit, what does that look like?
Well, in the time right now when all this bullshit is going on, you know, I'm going to keep writing and recording music and just try to keep doing my best shit. And hopefully 2021, you know, I want to be able to tour. Like, I'm going to keep running ads and trying to reach new audiences. And
I'm going to have to get with you with that, like, Google Ads. I don't know how to fucking run that. We don't know how to do that. I would like
to ask actually,
you.
Like, not that hard. It's I don't know how you would target people for a podcast, but for me, I'll target people like Tech N9ne and Suicide Boys and, you know, shit like that, like Dark Rap, you know? And, but yeah, But it's, yeah, it's been a fucked up year. Like, all the racism shit, too. It's just really...
It's crazy.
It's always been there, but now it's just more seen, you know, by the media. And you see all these videos of people just being so racist and
It's
defending the Confederate flag. And it's just the amount of ignorance.
Right, dude.
It's horrible.
Yeah, it fucking blows my mind.
It's crazy to think about, because people are always like, 2020 is just a crazy year. I mean, I don't know if it's a combination of everything that has obviously escalated to this point, you know, where everyone's kind of feeling a certain way as far as, like, it's emotional. You know, people don't have jobs. People are not sure where their kids are even going to do come August.
Yeah.
Like, I can imagine being in high school right now and, like, not knowing
or
like,
even having
what
a
to
kid.
Do. Yeah.
Like, having
or, like,
a kid right now.
Knowing
this time,
what your kids are going to do.
Freaks me out.
I mean, there's people that have to work, so I don't know what happens to those kids. You know, like, all these things. And then on top of that, we have the police brutality coming out even, you know, tenfold. Obviously, it's always been there.
Yeah.
But with phones and cameras and everything, it's a lot more out there. And it's crazy. I don't know. Like, I mean, I think it needed to happen.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
I think hopefully
it sucks that it had to happen like
I think hopefully positive things come out of it at the end of the day and a lot of big changes.
I feel like cops are going to start being held accountable more.
I hope so.
I think it's
really
already starting to happen, you know. And hopefully they're, you know, they're still people, but it's just fucking some evil people out there, you know. It's
right.
Yeah, like we've talked about before, because maybe not a lot of people might know, but I was a sheriff, Denver sheriff, for a little while. And I loved it. I loved the fact that I wanted to be a cop, you know,
like
since I was a kid. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Denver sheriffs, they only do corrections. We're like one of the very few counties that
So you're
don't
working
control.
In the county.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I was in the downtown jail, the DDC.
She used to. This is like years ago.
So okay. It was about 5 years
ago. Yeah,
it was
about 5 years
four
ago.
4 years ago.
Yeah.
5 years ago. But I wanted to be a cop.
Yeah.
You know, that was the ultimate like goal, was to be a police officer. Because to me, I was like, oh, I get to like help the community, work with everyone, you know, save people's lives, you know, that kind of mentality. And it's different.
Yeah.
Like, once I got there, it was a whole different world. It wasn't what I thought it would be.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, I understand both sides. I really do. Because there are, of course, like they say, there are good cops.
Yeah.
And of course there are. But it's definitely a mindset of, like, brotherhood. And it's definitely a mindset of you kind of do what you're told.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's just how it is. Like, if you're a rookie, like, you do what, you know, you see. Like,
yeah.
You know? And, unfortunately, like, you do see some bad things. And there are some, like, you know, officers that carry not necessarily even just racism, but just the stigma of like, if you're in jail, you're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And
that's not the
case. And I agree. And I went in, like, I have family in and out of prison, in and out of jail. So to me, I was like, that could be my cousin. And I literally seen my cousins when I was in jail came in.
That's
so
awkward,
to me, but to me, I was like, I would never mistreat someone because that could be my cousin. You know, I would never want them to do that. But some officers, unfortunately, like, I think aren't brought up that way, you know, or they're not exposed to that lifestyle. So to them, they don't see it that way.
Yeah.
And you give someone that doesn't have that experience with real life and real people in the streets a badge, and it's a powerful thing.
Yeah.
That badge is a very powerful.
It is.
Thing. It really is. And if you're not ready for it, or you fear certain groups of people, it doesn't help. They have a gun.
I feel like the run-ins I've had with the police, women are always a lot more compassionate than the male police officers, you know? And I don't know. Yeah. But like you said, like everybody, we're all people, you know?
And I do think, like I said, there does need to be changes, you know, big changes in training. And I think of who they hire has to change.
Yeah.
Because like I was telling him, like, people don't understand the process. You have to be perfect to be a cop. I mean, you have to be flawless.
Yeah.
You can't have a record. You can't have parking tickets. Like, you have to be on it. And a lot of times, unfortunately, I feel like those people aren't exposed to real life.
Yeah.
Because you had this perfect upbringing.
Yeah.
You know, you never went to jail.
Right. Yeah.
You don't know
that. Not saying that you should be like prisoner, convict, in and out, and go
but you don't,
become a
you're
cop.
Not, you're not street smart.
Yeah,
you
know
what I mean? Like, you don't know how to deal
you're
with,
not
like,
exposed
so you're
to other
scared
people.
And you fucking kill people, like, out of fear. Yeah.
Right. So the first time this white dude runs into a black guy, he thinks, I'm going to get robbed, I'm going to get beaten up. Like, they're terrified, man.
Yep.
And that's why, like, you know what I mean? Like, people like you and I who grew up with that adversity and diversity around us. You know what I mean? Like, I got family members that are black, man. So it's like, you know what I mean? It's some people are just, you know, it almost blows my mind that some people are like, that think that way, man, or that are like, we watched this video on TikTok the other day where some lady is like, went into her dental office and she's like,
I saw that.
I was like, dude,
fucking weirdo.
I was like, dude, there's fucking, I can't believe that person's real. Like, what the fuck?
And there's so many of them.
I know,
like, fucking
exposes,
Karens.
Yeah,
it
dude, Karens.
America,
and, yeah,
sure.
And she's like, I called my lawyer before I came. Like, who calls their lawyer before they go to the dentist?
Fuck
like,
off.
What are you doing in your life that's like, you're that
weirdo.
Fucking,
on edge, so fucking.
Yes, dude, like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah, it just blows my mind.
Yeah. And it's crazy how real it is. Like, even, like, growing up, you know, like, how, like, I've been judged by cops, you know, because of my tattoos and shit and how I look. But, like, it was so much different with my, like, black and Latino friends, you know, like, just crazy. I mean, I got pulled over with my homie Crucial one time. We're coming back from New Mexico. I got pulled over. I had a couple beers, like, you know, I was speeding. And Crucial's sitting in the front seat and I'm talking to the cop and he's like, what's up with your boy? Like, what's going on? What's his story? Kept asking me about Crucial. I'm like, man, I'm the one that got pulled over. You're talking to me. Crucial's not doing shit. He's sitting in my truck right now waiting for me to be done here. It was just like, it was fucked up. Yeah, and I've had a lot of situations like that.
Yeah, and that's... I think it's just, I don't know. It's hard. It's just like a society thing almost. You know, like you grow up with this vision and like you see things on TV, you see movies, you see all these things that I think help develop certain people's mindset. Of groups of people. And like I said, if you're not exposed to that and you know, for the first time is your experience on the streets, like that's not healthy. That's not safe for society.
No, for sure.
And like I said, even if it's the way they hire people and maybe like you don't have to be perfect to be a cop, I think having the street smarts will make a huge difference. Yeah. You know, and
people being able 100%. I've never listened to that. Heard that point of view, but that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, for sure. And even like with the whole like idea of, hey, how about social workers responding? I think that's a great idea. Yeah. Because even when we were in the jail, like a lot of the inmates suffer from mental illness. We actually have, you know, pods of guys that they do have a mental illness. Literally, they're taking medication.
And you guys aren't even allowed to know.
We're not allowed to know what it is. We're not allowed to know what they have, which makes it hard for us. Yeah. You know, because
that should be required.
You think like, oh, that guy's being an asshole because he's spitting in my face, but no, he probably has schizophrenia. Yeah. You know, or something. He's experiencing.
So you're treating him like he did that intentionally. You know what I mean? Yeah. So like, hey, this fucking piece of shit just spit on me.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. Through like not really out of anger window, and
but it's not
like,
that person's fault.
Yeah. Exactly. And if you don't think that way, you're just like, fuck that dude. You know, like, what an asshole. But it's like, you don't know the backstory.
Yeah.
And I think that's very unhealthy, and it sets you up for failure on both ends. Yeah. You know, it's very unsafe.
People that are social workers need to have a lot of compassion, you know, and understanding and, you know, think like that.
For sure.
You even have people in there coming down from things. Yeah. You know, that's a whole different ballgame to deal with someone that's withdrawing.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or on something coming in. And it's just a lot of things that they don't equip you for. Like, our training was great. Mm-hmm. Our academy was great physically. Like, I was prepared to, like, do anything and not be afraid. But they don't prepare you mentally at all. Like, that broke me. Like,
should the job be number one.
Yeah, the job literally broke me emotionally because I was so – just everything's so negative, of course. And you can't help someone that's already in jail. And, like, seeing 18-year-olds going to get carted off to prison for 10 years and they're breaking down. They're terrified. Like, I remember this one guy that – literally like broke down in front of me. He was just like, I don't know what to do. Like, you know, I'm scared. Yeah. And like, he should be scared. Like, I don't know what to tell him. You know, you're going to prison.
I couldn't
you're
fucking imagine.
Young boy. Like, you know,
I'd rather die than go to prison. Yeah. Honestly,
it breaks your heart for sure.
I did like 2.5 months when I.
Alrighty, man. We would be honored if we could have you do a verse from your latest song, Bruja.
Yeah.
Which just released, right?
Yep. It just dropped a few days ago. It's on YouTube, iTunes, Spotify. Everywhere, featuring DNA Picasso.
Dude, thank you for blessing us with your fucking amazing talent, brother.
Of course.
And let's go.
Yeah. I've been losing to the hardships, I maneuver through the darkness. I've been choosing who I am and I refuse to just be heartless. I remember days of blue, I've been truant in my head. I remember hating school and all them fools that want me dead. I forget a lot of shit, but if it's cool, I'll bring a tool. If I was you, I'd keep it moving, group of brujas with me too. It'd be news if I was fronting, my music is a substance. I use it till I'm high and I use it till I'm ugly. Dope, twisted, wick, and I have both eyes closed. No shit, I'm getting richer when that coke price rose. Whole sixes on my head, I'll make a cold flight home. Tell my mama I'll be back before them broke guys roam. Ask the cops with all the Nazi thoughts, I'm rotten, talking Oxycontin. Cock it back and watch me drop them, talking back, you probably copping off me. You a user, I'm a seller, you a doer, I'm a felon. I can help you if you welcome me to Moolah. No es importada, pensando en mi casa. Centrado mi cabeza, no tiempo de retraso. wish that I could have it. His pistols on my mattress, pictures in my head that made me sick of what I'm after. My wrist is filled with cuts, but I feel blissful when it's tragic. Liquid in my cup that made me distant when I grasp it. Miss me with that, hit me with that drama tone shit. I write these hits beyond my hip, but they do not know the shit. I am not one of them rappers, ayy. I do not wanna collaborate. I'ma be getting a bag today. I'ma be whipping a jab. They look like they mad. They looking to stab me, ayy. Why do they think that I'm sad? I'm thinking of bags and thinking of graphs, okay. I could be running them deals, youngin', when it pop, pop. When it feels something, when the clock stops and I cop stocks and it pops watch. I'm a real hustler, meal ticket, real figures. When the deal coming, I be still with it. Kill drum, I'm a real monster. I don't fear not, I'ma deal with you.
Love it.
Fucking yeah. Hey, man. I love it, dude.
I appreciate it.
Video is fucking awesome, too. And for sure, we're going to leave a link like we always do and give you some love there, brother.
Hell yeah. Thank
run
you.
That, run that up for you.
All his videos and songs are dope. So if you haven't heard from him,
appreciate it.
Check Dramatone out. Like you said, we'll leave all the links down below, Instagram, YouTube.
You had a special guest in that, too. He was your dog.
Oh, DNA? Oh, my. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's my boy, man.
Oh,
that's
tight. In the video, the little puppy?
Yeah. We've had him for like, I think, a year now, and we got two little dachshunds, my favorite type of dog now. That's so cool, yeah, man. That cool. Dude, he goes with me everywhere.
That's tight. We wanted to get a Frenchie, but they're like $3,000.
Mm.
they're expensive.
My little sister has one.
Yeah?
Yeah, they're funny.
They're so cute.
They're so loud. They're always talking shit.
Are they?
Screaming and shit. Oh, yeah, man. Making weird-ass noises. That's funny. It's funny.
They said they're, like, pretty chill as far as, like, activity goes. Like, a lot of people get them because they're house dogs. Yeah.
I want to teach them how to ride a skateboard.
Oh, man, I've seen that one that does that.
Have you seen that bulldog?
Hell yeah. English bulldog. That's English, isn't it? Those are fucking awesome, too. Yeah, that is crazy.
I know, that's pretty cool.
He, like, pushes it and gets on it. It's so cute.
I fucking love dogs, too. I love dogs. I want to get an English bulldog someday as well.
Yeah, those are cool.
Oh, you know, it's funny about that. I was for my job, one time, these dogs were chasing me down right over where I live.
Oh, shit.
And there were two English bulldogs
yeah.
Dude. And they were they would fucking chase my truck
because
I was
ass.
A recycling man. And
his truck's so loud. The truck. Yeah.
So they would, like, come right in front of the truck, and he would bark at the truck. And I would try to, like, pull up just a little bit so maybe he would get out of the way, and I'd scare him, and I was honking my horn, and he wouldn't leave.
Yeah.
He'd come to my door and just bark right under my tire. So I'd, like, get out, and I'd fucking pet him, and he would just sit there. And he would – every just time I try to go – I try to go, he would do the same thing. So I couldn't get my route done, dude. So I was like, oh, fuck,
he'd be kicking
dude.
It with the dog, like, fuck it, I'm chilling.
Yeah, dude. So, like, I tried to, like, walk down the street with him, and then I'd run in my truck, and, like, I'd back up, and I'd fucking take off, and they were just going down the street.
Chasing,
get him.
Like,
try to trick his ass.
Yeah, dude. And they eventually got caught. I was kind of sad.
Oh, man.
I should have just took him into my fucking house.
You should have.
Took him in the truck.
Oh, yeah.
No, I just put him in the trash truck with me. Right. That's funny.
Yeah, that's
knowing me, he would have had a chip and I'd have got arrested or something.
I know, that's true.
Still an English bulldog. But yeah, man, first and foremost, we want to thank you for doing this.
Yes, thank you so much.
Like we said, we've been wanting to get you on for a long time. And it was an amazing time, bro. And it was really cool to hear the other side of Dramatone. And obviously for you to come and bless us with your fucking amazing talent and kind of get a... This is a whole different feel and vibe for you, man. So I really, really appreciate that.
Well, that's mutual. I appreciate y'all, too.
Yeah, it was awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And like we said, anything you want us to put in our bio, and we'll put it for you, your Instagram. Do you fuck with Facebook?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, you could put my Facebook link and my Instagram and then just maybe the YouTube video.
We could put your OnlyFans account on there, too.
Oh, yeah.
You got to put OnlyFans?
That's going to be at the top. Hell yeah.
We'll make sure that link's in there.
Oh, yeah. For sure, man. Got to have that.
And if use the discount code for OnlyFans, Hardcore
right.
Strong.
Hardcore
10%
Strong.
Off.
Okay. Cool. Yeah.
Hardcore
10%
Strong.
Off.
Right. 10% yep. off. Hardcore Strong, guys.
This month only.
Right. And we want to do another shout out to, we're a sponsor for another podcast called the Dream Team Fantasy Football Podcast. Make sure you guys check that out. We'll also leave that in our description below. If you use our code Hardcore Strong Dream Team, or is it Dream Team? We'll put it in the fucking thing. I forgot what it was.
It's been too long. Since
it's been a while
this,
since anybody's even fucking used it because everyone's all scared to spend money for COVID.
Yeah.
Shout out to them and make sure you guys check that out. Hopefully they're going to get your boy on pretty soon. But shout out to them and shout out to my boy JP over here. It was nice to meet you, brother.
Yeah,
thank
nice
you for coming
you.
In and making sure Dramatone didn't get kidnapped.
Yeah.
And
it's my bodyguard. Got my back.
He has his bodyguard here.
We're going to do a quick shout out to JP on the camera after this.
Oh, yeah.
Zoom in on him.
Close up.
All right. All righty, man. Thank you guys. Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of the Hardcore Strong Podcast. You know, have a beautiful week and It's a beautiful day to be alive.
Stay healthy.
Stay safe. Wear your fucking masks.
Don't be that person caught on camera yelling about a mask.
Don't be a Karen.
Don't be a Karen. Don't be a cuck. Yeah. Alrighty, guys.
Yeah, stay safe. Love you guys. Thanks for listening. Peace. Thanks, Drama Town.
Peace, Drama Town.